Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you for joining with us today as we worship God on our online service. It is a Sunday after Easter, and we are celebrating that Jesus Christ is alive, that He is risen. And that is the reason why we worship and we gather together online or in person when we're allowed to worship and to glorify Jesus Christ. And as we look back over this past year that has been like no other year that we've ever experienced, it is the fact that Jesus is risen that has helped us through everything that we've faced. And therefore, it's important that we remind ourselves, and we don't just take this for granted, but Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. I've been thinking over this past year, and a number of people have said at times that this past year has been a little bit like the year of Jubilee that we read about in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in Leviticus. And it got me thinking, well, is this a year of Jubilee? Has this past year been like it? What happened in the year of Jubilee? Well, debts were forgotten about. They were set aside. Slaves were set free. The land was allowed to heal itself again. And in many ways, this past year has been like a year of Jubilee. For many of us, we've had to reevaluate what we do and how we do things. We've had to look at different things in a different way. But at the same time, for many, debts have increased over this past year. Those who have tried to keep businesses going, it's been very difficult. So in that way, it hasn't been like Jubilee. But I thought today that we'd look together at what Jubilee is all about to see if we can learn anything about our experience over the past year and see if we can learn something about where we're going to in the year ahead. And I don't want to spoil the ending, as it were, but what we see with the year of Jubilee is that that particular year where 1 year in every 50 was set aside as a reset, that doesn't happen nowadays. And even this past year hasn't really been a year of Jubilee. But what we're going to see is that Jesus is the Jubilee. Jesus is the difference. Jesus is the one who resets us. Jesus is the one who sets us free. Jesus is the one who cancels our debt. And if we can leave our time of worship today with that thought in mind, then we have achieved something. I want us to think about Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, I want to read it from the Message. It is a wonderful little passage where we're told what Jesus does for us in our lives. And this is what the year of Jubilee was to do in the lives of the Israelites. Are you tired and worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that is what we find in Jesus Christ. That's what the year of Jubilee was all about, where there would be rest and refreshment and restoration. And here Jesus brings that to us, not just once every 50 years, but He brings it to us every single day. Perhaps we've had an opportunity over this past year to reevaluate. Maybe things have been busier than normal. Maybe things have been quieter. Maybe things have been better. Maybe things have been worse. But we have had the opportunity to look at things differently and to see who Jesus is and to see what difference Jesus makes for us. So let's come to Him now and let's ask Him to help us and to see how He is our Jubilee. Heavenly Father, we come before You now in prayer, and we thank You that You are here with us. We recognize, Lord, that this past year has been unlike any other year that we have ever experienced. We recognize how it has been a time to reevaluate and to look at things differently and to come to You and trust in You. And Lord, as we come to You, many are worn out and tired. Many are burned out on religion. And therefore, Lord, we want to come to You and pray that Jesus, our Jubilee, would help us recover our lives, would help us to see how to take a real rest, to walk with You and to work with You, to watch how You do things so that we may copy You and do the things that You want us to. Lord, help us to learn these unforced rhythms of grace. We recognize that You have ways of doing things. You have timings in this world. And when we try to push them and force them, that is when we come into problems. Help us, Lord, to stay close to You. We recognize that You're the one who takes away burdens rather than adding to them. Therefore, Lord, we come to You today and we seek You and we pray that You would be with us and help us. For, Lord, we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, then, we're looking at this whole idea of Jubilee because it's one of the most profound ideas in all of the Bible. It's so profound and it's different to anything that we find in the world today. And yet Jubilee fits in with everything that we believe in and faith. And it reminds us of just how incredible, how amazing God's grace is and how incredible His forgiveness is. We've already read Leviticus chapter 25, that long chapter all about the year of Jubilee. And this idea of Jubilee starts off in a very simple pattern of the Sabbath day. And there are great lessons here for us. Although we're going to come to the conclusion that we don't have a year of Jubilee nowadays, instead we have a person in Jesus Christ, there are great lessons that we can learn from this whole idea of Jubilee. So with the Sabbath day, obviously one day in seven, we take a rest. And it's following the pattern that God set for us when He created the world. God rested on the seventh day when He created the whole universe. And it's a pattern that's built into human life that we work and then we rest. And the rest is as important to the work as the work itself is. And when we take a Sabbath rest, we're following the example of our Heavenly Father. But in Leviticus chapter 25, we're then introduced to the idea of not only a Sabbath day, but a Sabbath year. And that's where it gets difficult in our modern world for us to understand. Because there's nothing really like it in today's world that applies to all areas of life. Of course, there is the idea of a sabbatical, where we take an extended period of time off work to rest and also to study, but it doesn't happen very often. It's increasingly difficult for people to keep the Sabbath day, to keep one day a week holy, let alone one year in seven holy. And therefore, it is nearly impossible to imagine what this would look like. The idea that every seventh year the land should be allowed to rest, just as humans rest on the seventh day. And so in verse 3 of Leviticus 25, we read, "For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. The people are allowed to eat what was growing naturally in the fields, but they're not allowed to harvest it, and they're not allowed to sell anything that they lift off the land. And you can't help but think that maybe this is where a lot of the economic problems that we see in the world stem from, where we're trying to produce more and more and more, and we never step back to take a rest. Where there's no following of God's natural rhythms, then and His patterns for life, then there are problems. Jesus told us to come to Him to find rest. Remember those verses that I read at the beginning of the service from Matthew 11. In the NIV it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I read at the beginning from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of these verses from The Message. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And so in the Sabbath year, the people were to learn this unforced rhythm of grace. They were to trust in the Lord and accept His will and His plan. But then as we read on in Leviticus 25, we see another level to the Sabbath idea. Not only is there the Sabbath year, but now the year of Jubilee. And of course, we're pointing the finger at economics and at what goes on in the world, but maybe also we need to take a look at our church as well and see how these patterns of rest can fit in with our church. We've had this year where we've had very little activity within our church, and yet for many, this has been an incredibly spiritual experience this year. We haven't been able to have all the normal meetings and Bible studies that we would normally have, but we've had time with God. And we need to look at that and see how that might be replicated in the years ahead, and how we can continue to deepen our relationship with God without burning out in our activity. So now we come to this year of Jubilee, which is a Sabbath year of Sabbath years. After seven Sabbath years, there is to be the year of Jubilee. So after seven groups of 7 years, we've got 49 years. And the next year is to be another Sabbath. The 50th year is to be the year of Jubilee, a special Sabbath. And the idea of the sevens reminds us of the use of seven in the book of Revelation, where it crops up throughout the book. And every time seven is mentioned, it's the idea of completeness, of seeing things through from beginning to end. And here we've got the 7 years, a complete cycle, but we've then got a complete cycle of cycles getting to the 50th year. And this is much, much more than just taking a rest for a year. Once every 7 years, sabbatical, take a rest. But now in this 50th year, it is much more dramatic. In the year of Jubilee, something significant happens. All debts are cancelled. Imagine what that would be like today. At the moment, our country has racked up debts. Many businesses have racked up debts because of all that has taken place. To cancel debts. You remember back in the year 2000, there was a campaign by Christian Aid and by Tear Fund that governments throughout the world would cancel the debt of third world countries, that there would be a year of Jubilee where their debts would be cancelled, and instead of having to pay interest all the time, they could use their income to help their own people and not rely on aid as much. But it never really came to the plan that they had wanted it to come to. So in the year of Jubilee, all debts are cancelled. In the year of Jubilee, all prisoners are set free. Now, perhaps we're getting a little bit nervous at this point. Is this really a good idea? And maybe we're thinking, well, what about murderers and such? Well, in Old Testament times, they were killed for those particular crimes. So it wasn't going to be those most serious crimes that were going to be set free. In the Old Testament, people were put in jail mainly because of debt, and the more serious crimes resulted in death. So in the year of Jubilee, not only were debts cancelled and prisoners set free, but then all land was given back to the original owner. In the year of Jubilee, the land was redistributed again. So if you had sold land in the past, you received it back again. It was all put back to the way that it was. And this was great news for the poor. It was great news for those who had fallen in hardship, because there was a reset. The Jubilee was a new start for poor people, for those who had lost out in life. It was a chance to get a new beginning. It was a point of hope. The year of Jubilee turned economics from dog-eat-dog until a place where people cared for one another and thought about one another. The year of Jubilee was God's big reset button. It was the reboot in the system. It was like turning everything off and back on again. And everything was reset to normal. And you can see here why people have been looking at the year of Jubilee and thinking that this past year has been a little bit like it. Certainly with regards to climate change, without the air travel and all the pollution that would normally be given out by the world's countries, the world has been able to recover a little because of that. But it certainly hasn't been a time of clearing debts, where they have been mounting up for many. So why did God create a Jubilee? God created it because it was his desire that his children should never be in bondage again. He had set them free from slavery in Egypt. He had brought them to the promised land. He had given them this wonderful land to live in. And it was his desire that they would never go back to bondage once again. They should never be bound by poverty again. And as the Jews looked forward then to the coming of the Messiah, they waited in anticipation because they believed that the Messiah would bring a new Jubilee. And that is exactly what we find in Jesus Christ. He brings Jubilee. So whenever Jesus arrived on the scene in Nazareth, where he had grown up, and early one Sabbath, he made his way to the synagogue, as he was accustomed to do. He took the scroll and he read from the book of Isaiah. We can read the account in Luke chapter 4. And this is what we read, and think about the significance of what is being read here in the context of the year of Jubilee. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. So Jesus purposely unrolls the scroll and finds this particular passage to read. And just imagine the impact, where you've got an audience, a congregation in the synagogue who know about the year of Jubilee, who have built all their lives upon it. Whenever they make a deal, they count up the years to the year of Jubilee to calculate the value of a piece of property. And Jesus reads this to them. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You can almost hear the people in the synagogue gasp. Did he just read what I think he read? Did I hear that right? Is he saying what I think he's saying? What was Jesus doing here? He was proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. He was proclaiming the year of Jubilee. He was standing up in the synagogue and saying, I am the Jubilee. That song that we just listened to from Michael Carr, Jesus is the Jubilee. He's the one who sets free. He's the one who forgives sins. He's the one who heals. He is the one who brings God's favor. You see, Isaiah had said in chapter 61 that the Messiah would come and that he would proclaim the year of Jubilee. And Jesus proclaims it and he says, I am he. But he doesn't seem to simply have been bringing in a year of Jubilee. Rather, he is announcing an age of Jubilee. The kingdom of God has arrived. The kingdom of God is coming. This is for the rest of time, Jesus says, not just for 1 year. And what was the response? The people liked the idea that he was speaking about Jubilee. They all wanted that. But when they realized that he was saying that he was the Messiah, they tried to kill him. We read in verse 28 how they tried to kill him. It's less than 10 verses later. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Jesus read from the Old Testament, and the people were furious. They could not cope with this idea that the Jubilee was going to be a person rather than a year. And what we've got to realize is this past year may have been very different, but it's not a Jubilee. Jesus is a Jubilee. So they led him out to the brow of the hill and they were going to throw him over the cliff. And that wasn't the last time that Jesus would be led to a hill because of his message of Jubilee and of freedom. Because the message of salvation and redemption is the message of our Jubilee, where Jesus comes to set us free, where Jesus comes to cancel our debts, where Jesus comes to take away our sin. It is our Jubilee in Jesus Christ. And so if we are to see what Jubilee is all about, we look to Jesus' ministry. And we see that Jubilee is all about forgiveness and freedom and restoration and faith. And over this week, we're going to look at each one of those on our Beside the Burden Bible study. So do listen in to what we're going to say to realize just the power of Jesus' Jubilee. Jubilee is about forgiveness. It's when debts were canceled. And we don't have to wait for 50 years for Jesus to come and cancel our debts. He is here now, ready to cancel our debts, to take away our sin. If only we will trust in him. If only we will accept what he has given. Jubilee is about freedom. Whenever debts are cancelled, we're no longer bound to the sin that once held us. Instead, we are set free to live our lives the way that God intended us to live them. Jesus comes to set us free, to release us from the bondage of sin. The Jubilee was also all about restoration, where people who had gone down on their lives and they had lost money and everything had gone wrong, they were suddenly restored again. They were given back their property. They were given a new start. And Jesus does the same for us. Where life has gone wrong, where we've made bad decisions, where things are not working out the way that we want, Jesus comes and restores us, gives us a fresh start, starts us anew again. And Jubilee is all about faith. To have a Sabbath year, to take one year off, was an act of faith. You were trusting that God would provide during that year. It was like the Israelites in the wilderness whenever God provided them with manna. Every day they had faith that the manna would be there. Over the weekend they had faith that they wouldn't have to lift it on a Saturday, but that they would get twice as much on a Friday. And Jubilee is an act of faith, trusting that God will provide. Not just for that seventh year, but then also for the year of Jubilee. And Jesus being our Jubilee is an act of faith, where we trust him to do all that he has said he will do, and we rely upon him. So Jubilee is a time of celebration. And maybe after all that has happened over this past year, we're not quite ready to celebrate. But let's set that to the side and let's think about Jesus. And we can celebrate that Jesus is here, that Jesus is our Jubilee. Let's not forget what the party is all about, what Jubilee is all about. It's all about forgiveness and freedom and restoration and faith. And Jesus brings those things to us today. Let's come before God in prayer once again today. Let's give thanks for the offering and let's bring the needs of others before God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we recognize that you are a gracious God, a God who gives us everything that we need. And therefore, Lord, as we come to you in worship today, we bring our offering to you. And although that offering has been given in many different ways, we symbolically lay it before you now and ask, Lord, that you would use it for your will and purposes. Today, Lord, we continue to pray for those who are in need at this time. We pray for businesses, Lord, as they seek to come out of lockdown, as they seek to deal with the easing of restrictions. And we pray that they might be able to do that safely and that we might be able to do some of the things that we used to do together. Lord, we pray that you would help those who are struggling financially at this time. We pray that you would provide for them and help them. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with mental illness day by day. Because of the pandemic and because of lockdown and because of not being able to meet with friends. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill and haven't been able to receive the treatment that they need over this past year. And we ask that you would help the health service to be able to deal with the backlog. We pray, Lord, for those who are just struggling day by day with normal life, getting back to do the things that they once were able to do without a thought and now find difficult. We pray, Lord, for our land. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to come to you and seek you. And therefore, Lord, we pray that your will be done. And Lord, once again, we pray for revival in our land, that you would come sweeping through us by your Holy Spirit and transform what takes place here. Lord, we pray for those who are serving you overseas as global mission workers. And we ask that you would be with them and give them opportunities to speak for you and to tell others about you. So, Lord, we do thank you today, and we glorify you, and we pray that you would be with us in all that we do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together from God's Word, and we're going to read from Leviticus chapter 25. Now, this is a long chapter, and I am going to read all of it, all 55 verses. It's not maybe the normal thing that I would do on a Sunday in church, but I hope because you're at home, you'll be able to follow along. And this passage is all about the year of Jubilee, where it came from, what was involved in it, and what happened in it. So let's hear God's word together. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields. And for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant and maidservant and the hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. Count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property and each to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to his own property. If you sell land to one of your countrymen or buy any from him, do not take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your countryman on the basis of the number of years since the Jubilee, and he is to sell to you on the basis of the number of years left for harvesting crops. When the years are many, you are to increase the price. And when the years are few, you are to decrease the price. Because what he is really selling you is the number of crops. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine and you are but aliens and my tenants. Throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, his nearest relative is to come and redeem what his countryman has sold. If, however, a man has no one to redeem it for him, but he himself prospers and acquires sufficient means to redeem it, he is to determine the value for the years since he sold it and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it. He can then go back to his own property. But if he does not acquire the means to repay him, what he sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. It will be returned in the Jubilee, and he can then go back to his property. If a man sells a house in a walled city, he retains the right of redemption a full year after its sale. During that time, he may redeem it. If it is not redeemed before a full year has passed, the house in the walled city shall belong permanently to the buyer and his descendants. It is not to be returned in the Jubilee. But houses in villages without walls around them are to be considered as open country. They can be redeemed and they are to be returned in the Jubilee. The Levites always have the right to redeem their houses in the Levitical towns which they possess. So the property of the Levites is redeemable. That is, a house sold in any town they hold and is to be returned in the Jubilee, because the houses in the towns of the Levites are their property among the Israelites. But the pasture land belongs to their towns, must not be sold. It is their permanent possession. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Do not take interest of any kind from him, but fear your God so that your countrymen may continue to live among you. You must not lend him money at interest or sell him food at profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. If one of your countrymen becomes poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him work as a slave. He is to be treated as a hired worker or a temporary resident among you. He is to work for you until the year of Jubilee. Then he and his children are to be released, and he will go back to his own clan and to the property of his forefathers. Because the Israelites are my servants whom I brought out of Egypt, they must not be sold as slaves. Do not rule over them ruthlessly, but fear your God. Your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From them you may buy slaves. You may also buy some of the temporary residents living among you and members of their clans born in your country, and they will become your property. You can will them to your children as inherited property and can make them slaves for life, but you must not rule over your fellow Israelites ruthlessly. If an alien or a temporary resident among you becomes rich and one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells himself to the alien living among you or to a member of the alien's clan, he retains the right of redemption after he has sold himself. One of his relatives may redeem him. An uncle or a cousin or any blood relative in his clan may redeem him. Or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. He and his buyer are to count the time from the year he sold himself up to the year of Jubilee. The price for his release is to be based on the rate paid to a hired man for that number of years. If many years remain, he must pay for his redemption a larger share of the price paid for him. If only a few years remain until the year of Jubilee, he is to complete that and pay for his redemption accordingly. He is to be treated as a hired man, hired from year to year. You must see to it that his owner does not rule over him ruthlessly. Even if he is not redeemed in any of these ways, he and his children are to be released in the year of Jubilee. For the Israelites belong to me as servants. They are my servants whom I brought out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen. And now let us pray at the end of our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for sending us Jesus, our Jubilee, who sets us free. We thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells in us now. And therefore, Lord, we pray that we would know the freedom of your Jubilee, that we would know forgiveness, that we would be restored, and that we would put our faith in you this day. Amen.